Hi everyone, and welcome to the Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. I'm Pete, your host, and each week I will bring you some frank and honest conversations covering various topics from learning and development, friendships, funding, HR, strengths, recruitment, ESG, well-being, ED&I, employability, and much, much more. So let's get this week's episode underway and say as it is.
Everybody, welcome to this episode of Say As It Is with Pete. And as always, I am your host, Pete. Now, it's been a while since I've done a podcast, so been a little bit slack due to work, personal life and other things going on. So it's time to start catching up. We need to get season 3 out the way and crack on with season 4. So let's get going. Now, in this podcast, I'm going to do the National Insurance Increase 1 month review and what comes next. Because if you didn't realise, and you should have all realised by now, both as employers and potential employees, there's been a buzz around the last budget from the Chancellor about the increase of national insurance going from 13.5% to 15% for employers, and how that's supposed to get some extra money, put some extra money in the employees' pockets, Well, look, it's been interesting. Employers initially were looking at this and going, well, I don't think that this is going to work. How's this going to work? They're getting panicky. They're stressing. So now is time to look at this and just review it. So, as I said, this is a bit of a dig into the big issues shaping work and life in the UK. So, all from my own perspective. Again, I don't have any guests. I have no phone-ins. This is just an honest, frank conversation from my side and my points of view. So, as I said, today I want to talk about something that is already making waves in businesses and workers alike will all know that it's that national insurance increase. So, you know, we're just over a month on now. So what's changed? We're going to look at that. We're also going to look at what are employers and employees' feelings. We're also going to be talking about what could the next 3 to 6 months look like as the dust begins to settle with this. Because unfortunately, guys, it's not going anywhere, is it? So let's get going. Let's look at some facts and figures, other bits and pieces. And you know, in the real world, let's look at how this is impacting. So what changed on the 1st of April 2025? If you wasn't paying attention, so let's start with the basics. So from April 2025, the employer's national insurance NI contribution jumped from 13.8% to 15%. So at the same time, the threshold at which employers start paying NI on employees' earnings dropped from 9,100 a year to 5,000 a year. So not only does the rate go up, but also the threshold dropped. So that means a bigger chunk of every employee salary is now subject to employer NI. And more lower paid and part-time workers are included in this. So there was that threshold, as it said, 9,100. But obviously where it's dropped, guys, this is where it affects both employers and employees. So it's not just the employers being affected, it's employees. So as it says there, those lower paid individuals and also part-timers are getting it as well. So to help soften the blow, the government doubled the employment allowance from 5,000 to 10,500 and scrapped the rule that excluded larger employers from claiming. But for many businesses, especially those with more than a handful of employee, the increase is significant. And I've seen that within the organisation that I work for. There's lots of things going on, lots of things happening. So it does have a big impact. And not, you're probably going to see it after the first month. When that first month payroll is done, you're going to see an increase. So let's put some numbers on it. So for an example, if an employee is earning $30,000 a year, the employer's annual NI bill has risen from about $2,884 to roughly $3,625. £1,000. So that is a massive jump of over £740 per employee. That's if you were paying your employees £30,000 a year. So multiply that across the workforce, you will see why this is a big deal and why employers are looking at it and thinking, what the hell? So this could be employers looking at their current pay bills, what their current salaries are. This could be due to restructures happening. There's lots of things going on within organizations to try and save money to cover this cost, because a lot of employers are going to have to, especially in the service industry, pass this on to customers. So for example, guest accommodation increases, food accommodation prices increase, so like Tesco's, Lidl, Aldi, Sainsbury's, those kind of people, because of the wage bills increased, they're passing some of that on to their customers by increasing the prices on certain things. So there is going to be an impact overall, because they need to recoup that money from somewhere, and where else to recoup it apart from price increases. So as you can see, it is, you know, that £740 extra for an employer to pay is quite, you know, unique. Times that by, say, six people, it's quite a lot of money. Okay, so the first month is over. So what are we seeing from this? Well, first of all, rising costs. So as I said, employers are facing higher payroll costs almost overnight. It's instant. So for businesses with 10 staff on average salaries, that's an extra £7,000 to £8,000 a year straight out of the bottom line. But if you've got more employees, where you've got hundreds or thousands of employees, it's a lot, right? So you can already start seeing how much more it is. And with some employees, it's another like £1 million on their payroll, or another 2.4 million on their payroll that they're having to pay out. So the bottom line is disappearing. The margins, the profits, it's all changing. So with SMEs, they are hit the hardest on this as well. So small and medium-sized business already operating on tight margins, as we know, okay? And are failing to, are feeling the pinch most at this level. So while the increased employment allowance helps the smaller firms, those who are with more staff see costs rise sharply. So there are also large retailers responded. As I said, you know, look, that even with, or even sorry, before the NI hike, big brand names like Marks and Spencer's, Boots, John Lewis and H&M had announced store closures and downsizing plans, citing rising operational costs, including the looming NI increase, as a factor. So already organizations, especially in retail and some hospitality as well, and other organizations have looked at it and gone, well, how are we going to operate in 2025 once this comes out? So 25 to 26, what are we going to do? And there is lots of restructures. There's restructures, downsizing. Some employers are looking at the departments and going, well, do we need all these people? Do we need as many administrators as we think we do? Probably not. Can we get rid of some? Yes, we could. But also employees are looking at the in that plan of thinking, how can we use AI more? And look, the AI is great. And, you know, look, I'm an advocate for AI. I use three AI tools in my day-to-day work and life, and that's LexHR, ChatGPT, and Perplexity. And I use them for various things, to help me with social media posts, creating content, creating and generating ideas, bouncing ideas off of it. So all sorts of things. Now, with this as well, a lot of organizations are looking at AI to see where AI or where algorithms and automated actions can take place. And look, there's lots of AI out there. But I will say this to employers. Don't cut your throat too soon. And what I mean by that is a lot of employers are making redundancies, reshaping, reducing staff. But what you're doing by doing that is you're pushing a lot of that extra work onto individuals that are already overloaded with work and drowning. Throw them some water wings, throw them a life raft, because they need it. But if you load that onto them, it's going to affect your workforce and potentially meaning that they're going to get burnt out. And those burnouts are going to end up getting upset, getting burnt out, thinking this is not for them, and leaving the organization, which then leaves you more in the shit. But also, when I say don't cut your throat too soon, is look at things that can be automated quicker. So if you're paying per hour, see how you can reduce the employee's hours by automating some of their work, whether it be, you know, through chatbots on websites, whether it be from, you know, quick ordering systems, whether it's quick booking systems, whether it's, you know, can you use AI to generate, you know, emails, responses to emails and texts, you know, because look, if I get a bunch of emails and I get a lot of sales emails, so I tend to use ChatGPT or Perplexity to create me a response or research a little bit. Or if I get an email with a bunch of information, it's there to summarize it to speed up my productivity. Okay. But also, I'm dyslexic, so it's a great tool for me to use. And when I'm looking at HR related stuff, I use LexHR to look at it and go, okay, as a HR perspective and things like that, what do I need to do? What can I find out? I've got questions about HR, blah, blah, blah. And I can do that. I don't like using blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I used it. But you kind of get the context I'm saying. So although organizations are thinking, let's downsize, let's use AI, let's use all of this, you know, artificial intelligence. And I'm going to say this, and I've said it on countless podcasts. So employers, raise your ears and listen. AI isn't artificial intelligence. AI should be artificial learning. It should be AL. Artificial learning, because AI is only as good as what it's got in its data bank. So lots of AI are changing to search the internet now, but again, the web is as only as good as the information it's got on it. We all know Wikipedia is not the best website to use, and a lot of ChatGPT doesn't use Wikipedia, thank God. But you've got to think, the data that it has is only to a certain point. So like ChatGPT, the data is probably, it's probably about a year and a half out from the current date of data that's inputted into it. And if you're building your own AI tool, you need thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of data to help you build your AI internally. So yes, AI can be great in some cases. For example, you could use an AI tool to call thousands and thousands of candidates to, you know, do that, but you've got to make sure that you're smart in that and you link it to your ATS system, your application tracking system. And can it be linked to your ATS, or does your ATS system already have something like that? If you're responding to chatbots on your website, how does that look? What can you do? So be very strategic in what you do, because you don't want to lose that people touch. Because what we're now seeing in AI, and it's, sorry, it goes off topic, but what we're seeing now in AI, from as predominant as AI has been out there, people are stepping away from using AI in certain things, and they're finding that it does help on a day-to-day level and can support them in certain things, but it's more of a support tool than an actual replacement to the work. So employers, listen, if you're going to restructure, great, restructure, do what you need to do. Don't heavily rely on replacing 80-90% of your business with AI, because if all else fails and AI fails, your business fails. So have a BCP, a business contingency plan. Still keep people in the organization, even if it's a minimum amount of people. You need it. Okay, so don't cut your throat and just go solely AI. Okay, because a lot of employees I'm seeing doing that, and it's a bit crazy. But yeah, just be cautious of AI. Look, as I say, I'm not against AI. I use AI quite a lot. I love AI. And if there's a new AI tool or something comes out, I like to explore it, see what it does, see if I can use it, how it would benefit me, all sorts of things. I love it. But don't rely on AI. Very back to basics. The same as I use when I teach and learn, I always say to managers, what happens if a system goes down? What happens if you don't have emails? What happens if your phone system goes down? What do you do? How do you go back to basics? Even for like a hotel reception, for example, you say to somebody now, when the system goes down, what do you do? And they look at you and go, we wait, we can't do anything, we can't check people in. Yes, you can. If you print your reports out every hour, you'll have the up-to-date list, yeah? Then you go manual check-in. And then when the systems come back up, you can put all those rooms off that have already been allocated, and then you just check everybody in and you go a little bit old school. You've got to realize, you've got to go old school. So technology can fail. It can. So employers, my tip, Don't rely on AI as much as you think you do, because it can fail, and it's only as good as the information it has. So make sure that the information is correct. Okay, so don't go replacing departments, everything else. For me, like people say, but you film and video all your AI, all your videos for e-learning. Yeah, I do. I prefer to record it because a lot of people with e-learning now are bored of these static avatars that go, "Hi, I am your e-learning. My name is Anna. Today, I'm going to help you learn about food and beverage. Let's talk food. Let's talk food allergens. Number one." It's very robotic. AI avatars are getting there slowly, but they're not as great as they are. And some AI voiceovers are great, and I've used AI voiceovers sometimes, and they are great. But when it comes to creating training videos, I've even used one tool where you put in your script and everything, and it generates the video for you. But what it does is it throws some random ass images and videos in there that have no relation to what you do or the topic itself, and it repeats them several times. I have seen one hotel's food and allergens training for food and allergens level 1 and 2, and it's so robotic, and you know it's AI, and it is as boring as hell. So yeah, I prefer to do it more live. You'll see a lot more people now with their learning prefer to have a human again rather than, you know, an AI avatar. So, and most people who do interviews will know that there are interview avatars that you can use to interview candidates, and they are not great. There's still a lot of work to go. That's why I call it AL, artificial learning. It's not artificial intelligence yet. It hasn't got a conscience, it hasn't got a mind, it's not thinking on its own. What it's doing is it's pulling all from all the information it has in its database to give you an answer. Okay, so it's like the wise old owl. So let's crack on, because I kind of waffled there. But the impact of on employees. So how is the NI in increase affecting employees? Well, the wage is a little bit of a stagnation. So many employers are pausing on pay rises. They're limiting the pay rise or bonuses this year to try and offset the extra NI costs. So some are freezing salaries altogether and saying, for the next year, we're not going to increase your salary. It is what it is. Tough luck. So what you're on now, you're just going to cope. We're not giving any increases. Obviously, the national minimum wage increased from April as well as everything else. So obviously employers have had to take the increase on the national minimum wage in, so going from 11.44 to 12.21, and taking the 15% increase on the employer NI, and obviously the reduction on when they start paying that NI. So it's been a big hit for employers. So with that, they are saying, we're not increasing salaries. You are on what you are. That's it. So it is what it is, guys. So employees, if you're listening to this, you're not going to get anything, you know, because you may not. What you've got is what you've got. But also then comes job security concerns. So employees are starting to worry about job security as employers look for ways to manage hiring costs, whether through redundancies, reduced hours, or shifting to more temporary contracts. So this is what I've said about restructuring and using AI. And, you know, if you've got 20 administrators in a department, do you need 20? Can you cope with half of that to save some money? So a lot of people are having to do restructures. And there's some restructures going on in my organization, especially in my department. I'm potentially losing somebody, which is okay, which pushes a lot more workload back onto me. Which feels like I'm back to where I was when I joined 8 years ago. But hey ho, that's the way it is. Another department is losing 2 because they've got 2 administrators and they're moving down to 1. So, and recruitment are looking, they've got too many recruiters, so they're looking at downsizing recruiters, but potentially replacing some of the duties that recruiters do with AI technology to support them in their role. And again, AI should be a support mechanism, not a replacement. So employers, if you're listening, remember that. AI is a support mechanism, not a replacement. It's a support tool. It's like your friend in your pocket, your work buddy, your assistant. It's like everyone having a PA. Okay, so there are job security concerns. So people are thinking about, what if I'm made redundant? What do I do? And I have done a podcast before about redundancy and how redundancy kind of works and what you should do if you're made redundant or a company goes bust. So go back and look at that. It's called Another One Bites the Dust. And it relates to a training provider, but actually it's universal, to be honest. So go back and to listen to Another One Bites the Dust. And that's in season one. But for this one, just be mindful that if you are going through redundancy, you've got a consultation period. You can always phone ACAS for advice and guidance. If you have a union rep, get your union rep consulting. Try and put a business case together to say why you think you should still be in the business. You may have to re-interview for your job, so look about your achievements, look about what you've given to the business, what you could potentially give to the business. So think a little bit outside the box. So I will do a separate podcast on this as well, because I think it's also relevant again. Although you can listen to Another One Bites the Dust, I'm also going to do another one on this as well, as how you can approach redundancy and things. So, yeah, just be aware, job security. So I would strongly say keep your head down, do what you need to do, get your job done, and, yeah, you should be fine. But if you do go through that restructure, HR will follow that process. And if you're ever unsure, ACAS, as I say, ACAS is there, your union reps are there, etc. So always reach out to them. But also then, this now leads on to the job market trends. So, you know, I'm a big advocate for social value recruitment. So it comes into line with this, but how is that job market going to look with this now? So one thing we are seeing is reduced hiring. So there's already evidence that businesses are slowing down on recruitment for full-time permanent roles. Instead, there's a shift towards part-time and temporary or contracted positions, which offer employees more flexibility but lower long-term costs, or they give the employers more flexibility, I should say, and lower long-term costs. So going to those contracts, you know, whether it's a contracted position, whether it's part-time, whether it's temporary, gives that employer to have that flexibility, and it will reduce their costs slightly. So, you know, I do see it. If employers say we're putting a freeze on recruitment for the next 3 to 6 months, I did mention this before in a previous podcast, that employers are going to put a freeze on it for the next 3 to 6 months. The company I work for has put a pause on all recruitment. And then from recruitment, we've gone to restructure to some redundancies, but we're still recruiting a lot of frontline roles that we have to replace because we need them to operate. So yeah, you'll probably see in head office roles, there is going to be a change. So yeah, you will see that if you are needing that person that you've wanted for the last 3 to 6 months and you've started to recruit, that recruitment may go on hold because the employers will say, well, actually, let's just hold off for that right now. Let's see how we can get on. So there's also a rise in freelance and contractors. So to help projects moving without the full burden of employee NI, more employers are, you know, turning to freelance and contractors. So this gives businesses flexibility, but less job security and fewer benefits for workers. So again, they may outsource certain things because they're paying one set cost where they're not paying the NI or anything like that. So again, there is that element to it. But how does this work for sector specific, or how is it going to impact sector specific? So there are vulnerable sectors, and there always is. So sectors with lots of lower paid roles, like hospitality, retail, for example, and the arts, are particularly exposed. So Oxford Economics estimates that the NI hike could cut employment by 55,000 jobs and push unemployment up by 0.2% in the short term. So yes, reality, that could happen. Because if people aren't going to spend, and you know it's getting harder for employers to pay the bills, then it's going to have an impact. Okay, so as it says, you know, it could go up by 55,000 job losses and it could increase by 0.2%. Okay, but also tech and startup. So for tech and startup companies, the higher costs could make it harder to compete for top talent, especially with large firms able to absorb the increases more easily. So if you try to set up, it's harder to get those key people you want because larger employers are going to keep them. They can absorb the cost, but as an SME or a small startup, you're not going to be able to, are you? So, you know, look, I'm going to give you some kind of quotes and insights here. So employer national insurance is effectively a tax on jobs. We all know it has, and it's been for many, many years. So when it rises, businesses must find that money somewhere. For some, that will mean halting recruitment. For others, it could mean rethinking how roles are delivered. And increasingly, that means automation and, as I said, artificial intelligence. But what I will say is, again, it's artificial learning, not artificial intelligence. It learns from what you do. So I'm going to give you an example. If you want to do a chatbot or you want to do a recruitment chatbot, you've got to give that chatbot everything it needs to provide the service. Yeah? So with that information, you fed it, it can then do the job. Okay? So that's the artificial learning, because it's learning from what you're telling it to then do what it's got to do. It's not intelligent. Artificial intelligence is the wrong word to use. It's artificial learning. I hate artificial intelligence. It's artificial learning. So BBI Brand Boost said, and that's what they said, but also, as I said, Oxford Economics said the hike will cut employment by 55,000 and the and pay growth by 0.2%. Employment could rise. So it is what it is, guys. We have to look at it, and companies have to be very strategically mindful of how they do that. So how, again, how does AI and automation have an impact? And I'll go for it again. So, and it's an unintended push. So here's where, as I said, here's where some things get really interesting. So as costs for employing people goes up, businesses are looking for alternatives. As I said, they're using AI, and automation doesn't come with payroll taxes, doesn't come with pensions or NI contributions. And it comes with a set subscription costs. So every time the cost of hiring rises, the case for replacing jobs with technology gets stronger. So for some businesses who are already accelerating their adoption of AI, not necessarily because it's the right time, but because it's suddenly a cheaper option. For workers, that means not just fewer jobs, but also a shift in the types of roles available and the skills required to stay relevant. Again, I've mentioned AI a lot in this, and I'm going to say it again. AI is not AI. It's not artificial intelligence. It's artificial learning. That's it. I want to hear artificial learning, not artificial intelligence. Employers shouldn't cut their throats too soon by using AI or AL, because you have got to feed it a load of information. And as I say, there are things that ChatGPT can do. There's things that Perplexity can do. There's things that LexHR can do. There's even things that Otter AI can do. But Otter AI is sometimes questionable, because we've used Otter AI for note-taking in my organization. And it doesn't identify the person talking. It says person at one, person two, person three, person four, person one, person two. I know who person one and person two is. And it's just a continuous commentary of the conversation. And it doesn't translate or transcribe everything that's said, and if it does, it doesn't read correctly. So it's not as great, because it's not identifying the different tones and accents and speeds and speech and all of those things in a conversation that it could pick up. So even if I take this podcast and put it into an AI format and say, take all the text, take everything from that you're listening to and create a transcript, I've still got to go over the transcript and read it and edit it, because there's be things in there that didn't sound right or not have been said or missed or misquoted. So because it's not adapted to my tone, my volume, my voice, the way I speak, the way I pronounce, my pronunciations, all those kind of things, it doesn't really pick it up well. So AI is not as good as you think it may be. It's great in some aspects, in other aspects, it's not. You've got to be very, very careful how you use AI and what you use AI for. Again, businesses, if you're listening, it's artificial learning, not artificial intelligence, because you need to input everything you need to get what you want from it. Okay? Have any questions on that? You can always reach out to me and I can explain it a little bit more. And if you want to have a debate about it, let's have a debate about it, whether it should be AI or AL, because I know where I stand on my grounds on this. So how does this look for us then in the next 3 to 6 months, and what could happen? That's the key thing. So first month is over, first payroll is gone, employers are looking at it going, oh my god, and panicking. So don't panic. Okay, we all can think that I say don't panic, but that's a great, don't panic, keep calm, it's a great British phrase, right? But you take the first hit and you go, okay, this is quite big. How are we going to do it? What's worst case scenario, and work your way backwards? Okay, so what could the next 3 to 6 months look like, and what could happen? So there's potential for more redundancy. So with profitability at a 23-year low and demand still soft, many firms may struggle to absorb the extra costs. If things don't improve, we could see redundancies, particularly in sectors like hospitality, retail, that are already under pressure as it is. So keep an eye out for those. There could be further reduction in job creation. So employers may continue to hold off on recruiting for new roles or expanding into new areas. So growth plans could be put on hold, until businesses feel confident they can manage the higher costs. That's why some businesses may reduce their workforce but take on more business, but then realize actually they're able to start employing again. So swings and roundabouts. So wage growth likely to stay flat. So don't expect big pay rises this year, guys. So employers are likely to be cautious with salary reviews, and any increases may lag behind inflation, leading to real terms pay cuts. And for many workers, so again, whatever salary you're on now, that just take that as your salary. Don't expect a pay increase or a pay rise this year. Wait till April next year, because we need to get the first year out of the way to see the impact before employers decide what they're going to do. So you could see more businesses turning to AI and flexible talent. As I said, expect a continued shift towards project-based hiring, freelancers and contractors, as well as further investment in artificial learning, not AI, and automation to keep costs down. But again, guys, I say this and I'm going to keep saying it, because I need employers and people to understand that when you move to AI, it's not AI, it's artificial learning. It's as good as it gets, okay? And it's what you feed it and tell it to then give you what you need. So if you're using a chatbot for a website, you've got to provide potential questions and answers. If you've got to link it to certain things, you've got to build that AI. Think about it. Just think, as I say, if you don't get it, you need understanding, or you want to talk more about AI and AL, let me know. So last thing on this one is possible price increases for customers. So as I said before, with higher wage and NI costs, small businesses may pass on the extra costs to customers in the form of higher prices, especially in sectors where margins are already thin. So it could be in hospitality, it could be in retail, it could be in food services. So where those increases are, like Tesco, Sainsbury's, Aldi's, Marks and Spencer's, John Lewis, they've all said with the higher NI costs, there may be increased costs on products and services. So there are some key figures and takeaways just from this to go over again and recap. So the employer NI rate has gone up from 13.8% to 15%. The threshold is down from 9,100 to 5,000. The employment allowance is up from 5,000 to 10,500. Estimated job loss could be up to 55,000 in the short term. An annual cost increase per £25,000 for an employee would be about an £800 cost per year. So if you're paying someone £25,000 a year extra, you're paying about £800 on your annual increased cost. And wage growth impact will be down 0.2%. And then unemployment will rise up by 0.2%. Kind of balances itself out there, doesn't it? So some final thoughts on this one is that the national insurance increase is already reshaping the job market. There's no doubt about it. We can see it. So employers are targeting, tightening their belts, hiring less and looking for ways to do more for less. So employees face stagnant wages and less job security, and the rise of AI, or AL, as I like to call it, and automation could accelerate as businesses seek to manage costs. So the next few months will be crucial for businesses, for so organizations, employees, employers, freelancers, contractors, etc. So will businesses adapt and weather the storm? Who knows? Or will we see some job losses and a further shift toward automation? So who knows? As always, we'll be keeping an eye out and looking at the data and the stories behind the numbers. So I will probably review this in a month, 2 months time, when we hit the 3 month or 90 day mark, to see how this is going. So we've done 30 days. Let's do 60 and 90 day review on this as we continue to grow. So guys, look, I'm going to wrap up this podcast. So thank you for listening to Say As It Is with Pete, where we have the honest and frank conversations. So if you've got any thoughts or experiences to share so far from this, drop me a message on social media, or reach out to me via my LinkedIn, my Instagram, whatever, wherever you follow me, wherever you pick this up from, reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. If you want another discussion on the difference between AI and AL and why I think they're different, or what you or your views, opinion on them are, let me know. But I will follow up with a podcast on how to deal with redundancy and restructures for the employee and employer. So again, guys, thank you for listening. I hope you have a good week, whatever comes your way. Stay positive, and always remember, you come first in everything, and don't burn yourself out. And until next time, we'll catch you soon.